Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Project's open mic call-in show. This tonight is our holiday edition, our very first holiday edition. I'd like to say welcome to all of our friends around the world, those people tuning in weekly, tuned in over the months, and actually tuned in over the last year. So again, this is our holiday show. Who is the reason for the season? I'd like to recite a piece, and throughout tonight, and again, I may be alone here, but hopefully not. I plan to recite poems, Christmas carols, through poems. I'll change them to fit into a poem, if that makes sense. This is one called I Wonder As I Wonder. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die. For poor, ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow's stall, when wise men and farmers and shepherds and all, but high from God's heaven a starlight did fall, and the promise of ages it then did recall. If Jesus had worn it for any wee thing, a star in the sky or a bird on the wing, or all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have it, 'cause he was the king. Again, I'd like to welcome you to the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. I'm probably going to say that 35,000 times throughout the course of the night. We are back again for another week of great poetry, of great opportunities to spread the word that poetry is alive and well and living not only in Washington, D.C., but around the world. I'd like to move on and go to our lines to see if we have anyone here with us. No one's available at the moment. So what I'll do, as I always do, is just continue this journey. I found a poem as I was preparing for tonight's episode that really, in my mind, encapsulates what this is all about. The poem is by Emily Dickinson, and I'd like to recite it for you. No, I think I'm going to do the one by Audre Lorde. It's called Cove. Audre Lorde, 1934 to 1992. I is the total black being spoken from the earth's inside. There are many kinds of open, how a diamond comes into a knot of flame, how sound comes into a word colored by who pays what for speaking. Some words are open. Diamonds on the glass window singing out within the crash of passing sun. Other words are stapled wagers in a perforated book, buy and sign and tear apart. And come whatever wills or chances, the stub remains, an ill-pulled tooth with a ragged edge. Some words live in my throat, breeding like adders. Others, no sun, seeking like gypsies over my tongue to explode through my lips like young sparrows bursting from shell. Some words bedevil me. Love is a word, another kind of open. As the diamond comes into a knot of flame, I am black, because I come from the earth's inside. Take my word for jewel in an open light. Here's another nice one. It's by Larry Levis, 1972. Audrey's piece, maybe I forgot to mention, was written in 1962 and revised in 1992. So this is Larry Levin. He lived from 1946 to 1996. And the poem is the poem you asked for. My poem would eat nothing. I tried to give it water, but it said no. Worrying me day after day, I held it up to the light, turning it over, but it only pressed it to my lips more tightly together. It grew sullen, like a toad. Through with being teased, I offered it all my money, my clothes, my car with a tank full of gas. But the poem stared at the floor. Finally, I cuffed it in my hands and gently carried it out into the soft air, into the evening traffic, wondering how to end things between us. For now, he had begun breathing, putting on more and more and more hard rings of flesh, and the poem demanded the food. It drank up all the water. It beat me and took my money, tore the faded clothes off my back, and said, shit, and walked slowly away, slicking his hair down, said he was going over to your place. I don't know, I like that. Maybe it was that last line. I got to the end. So again, this is the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. The number is 646-716-8754. What we'd like you to do is to call in, and what we'd like to say again, this is Christmas, and we know the reason for the season. We'll be right back.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Show. We do it all on here. We go from the sublime to the sublime. Here's a poem by Rita Dove. And as many of you know, she was the Poet Laureate of the United States in 1993. And the poem is titled Adolescence, Part 3, written in 1980. With Dad gone, Mom and I worked the dusty rows of tomatoes as they glowed orange in sunlight and rotted in shadow. I too grew orange and softer, swelling out starched cotton slips. The texture of twilight made me think of lengths of dotted Swiss. In my room, I wrapped scarred knees in dresses that once went to big band dances. I baptized my earlobes with rose water along the windowsill. The lipstick stubs glittered in their steel shells. Looking out at the rows of clay and chicken manure, I dreamed how it would happen. He would meet me by the blue spruce, our carnation over his heart saying, I have come for you, madam. I have loved you in my dreams. At his touch, the scabs would fall. Over his shoulder, I see my father coming towards us. He carried his tears in a bowl, and blood hangs in the pine-soaked air. Wow. That was it. Let's see whether we've got some callers on the line. No, it's only I. Still here, still reciting, as I always do weekly, the DC Poetry Project over my call-in show. One of the things that I really like about this show, and maybe because I host it, and this is the 63rd week, that of all the people that we've had on, we celebrate them in terms of what they bring, in terms of what they share with us and with the world, because people do listen. I do receive texts and I do receive tweets from people. They say words like awesome and thank you for allowing us to hear those voices from places that we'd never heard of, ever thought about. Poetry gives you that. It allows you an opportunity to soar within your own imagination and to bring that imagination out to the world and allow the world to see what kind of kaleidoscope you can create through the power of your words, a kaleidoscope through the coloring of your words. You know, some years ago I taught a class and I made the statement that words are never innocent. And that statement has been a part of my frame, my makeup ever since. It just was so profound to me that words are never innocent. So when we string words together in a poem, every comma, every word, every, you name it, what are we really saying? What are we trying to convey to the universe about who we are, or about the person or the character that's in the poem, if words are never innocent? Yeah, I'm going to read a piece by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I think all of you know who she may be. It was written in 1850, and she lived from 1806 to 1861. And it's called, How Do I Love Thee? Let Me Count the Ways. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee deep in breadth and height. Now, I'm going to say that again. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. For the ends of being an ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood faith. I love thee with love I seem to lose. With my lost saints, I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after life. After death. Excuse me, I got a little excited there. That's a very powerful piece of poetry. And if you think about what I stated earlier about words are never innocent, she incorporated, included in that piece, those words that she felt based on my own understanding of that piece. What love is to her. So her words were not innocent to her. And I think in terms of poetry, we all bring that to the table, that whatever words we bring are part of us in some way. And they do. I don't know. We have a caller. We have a call. I guess I don't want to get too existential or philosophical because, again, this is our pre-holiday show. Go to the lines. Good evening, caller. Area code 240. The first number is 8. Hello? Are you there? Caller? Hello? We had a caller. There's a person on the line, but hopefully they'll stay there. Okay, what I'll do is just continue on reading pieces of poetry and just sharing what I view as being my truths, and hopefully some of you can resonate with them. I'm going to try this caller one more time. Caller, are you there? Caller? Are you there? Well, maybe they'll sign on later. This is Linda Hogan's piece, The Rainy Season. It was written in 1985. The women are walking to town beneath black umbrellas and the roofs are leaking. Oh, let them be, let the buckled wood give way this once and the mildew rot the plaster, the way it happens with age when a single thought of loneliness is enough to bring collapse. See? Here they come. The witches are downstairs undermining the foundations. The skeletal clothes hanger has unwound from its life at last, hidden in a dark coat, thrown over its shoulders. Nothing is concealed. Not silver moth falling out the empty sleeves, or the old cat with shining fur covering his bony spine. That string of knots from keeping track of this mouse and that. Even that mouse has his days of woe. In the field and in the world, there are unknown sorrows. Every day collapses, despite the women, walking to town with black umbrellas, holding up the sky. The rainy season. Try this one more time. Caller, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well. Am I the only caller?
You are the only caller.
Oh, okay, because I wasn't sure. I heard you say caller, and I was like, I'm not sure if he's talking to me.
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. This is my first time calling, so again,
oh,
I was not sure.
Well, hey, then that makes this a very special night. And your name is?
Keith.
All right. Well, welcome to the D.C. Poetry Project's Open Mic Call-In Show, our holiday edition. As you see, we run the gamut, or at least I run the gamut, in terms of the kind of poems that I'm sharing. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, are you a member of the D.C. Poetry Project?
I am, but once again, I have not been able to call in, and I've been wanting to call in, but I finally did it since I was home because I'm always busy. I said, okay,
right.
I'm going to make it my duty to call in tonight, and that's
right.
What I did.
Well, that makes my evening. So would you like to favor us with a few poems?
And that's just funny. I have some. I wasn't prepared. I can pull one out or so. I really wasn't prepared for this.
Hey, don't worry about it. This is the kind of show where we just make it up as we go. All right? It's called life.
Okay.
What I'll do is take a little break here and come right back. That'll give you a chance to get situated, and we'll be right back. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yes. And our breaks are very, very short. So... again, my name is Michael Ingram. This is the D.C. Poetry Project Open Mic Call-In Show. You know, we're going to have a good time regardless. We're going to have a good time tonight. And we're just going to revel in music. Here we go.
Talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, well, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph.
Well, I think you may know who that was. That was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Bing Crosby, so there's no copyright infringement. So, again, we are the D.C. Poetry Project Open Mic Call-In Show. The number is 646-716-8754. And I'd like to say thank you to Keith for being here. We have another caller. But I'd like, Keith, you to start. Are you ready? Keith, would you like me to bring another caller, too? I'll bring another caller as Keith gets ready. All right. Good evening. To the state of Maine.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm quite
it's
well.
Valerie.
Yourself? Yes, of course it is. I know your number, Valerie, like I know my mom's.
How am I? I'm so ready for this holiday to be over.
Oh, why so? You just ready?
I am ready.
Okay. All right, then. We have another call in the line. Her name is Keith. This is her very first time. She's a member of the DC Poetry Project. Keith, are you there? I guess she's still getting ready. So, Valerie, how's life in Maine? I know you're ready for the Christmas to be over. How's everything else?
Life in Maine is great. It's supposed to be 50 degrees on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It's been raining.
Wow, it's raining here in Washington, D.C. as well. It's raining.
Yes.
It's raining. Yes, it was a kind of a mixed kind of day. But, hey, we're here. Would you like to share a piece, Valerie, as Keith prepares?
I would. I have something very, wow, it's very festive because I came on the line and I heard Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And I thought, oh, very festive.
Very festive, that's right. We do it all, as you know.
All right, so this is, and I can't offend, I'm sorry if I offend anybody. This is a Christmas poem, but it's called The Christmas Police. And I collaborated with the poetic, the other poetic person on Poetry Pasta, Franco Esposito.
Okay.
So he had a hand in running this too. But my Christmas tree has flashing red and blue LED lights on it. So it reminds you of being pulled over by the police. So that's what I wrote about. So this is called The Christmas Police by Franco Esposito and Valerie Beers.
All right.
The Christmas tree speeds like a fast car down the highway. Its lights of red and blue flame through the night. The Christmas police are pulling me over. Did you know you don't have enough Christmas spirit, ma'am? I got a ticket for not blaring Christmas music, not having my car stuffed with brightly wrapped presents, not having antlers and red nose on my car, half-assed decorating, not enough baking, not enough cards, green bean casserole rattling and tinkling in the way back, fashionably late for all the Christmas things. Little white lies. No, thank you. And thank you. Done.
Now, you collaborated.
I did?
With another person, yes. Talk about the collaboration piece. What was that like?
I love to collaborate with other people because they have a different view. You know, they might start a poem, like Franco started this poem for me. And then said, well, take it in whatever direction it goes in. You know, they might have it, or I might start something, and now I may take it in a totally different direction than what I was thinking. So I love collaborating.
I like that. Wow. And the title of it again?
The Christmas Police.
The Christmas Police.
Yes, because police cars usually have red and blue flashing lights. Well, I have those same lights on my Christmas tree.
You'll need to send me a picture of your Christmas tree.
It's right on YouTube. It's on,
oh, okay.
It's on my YouTube. And I really want to plug Poetry Pasta for 2016.
Tell us more about Poetry Pasta. Tell us more about Poetry Pasta.
Poetry Pops is very low barrier. Send us anything. We love to show off new poets and their words, unless your poem is, you know, hateful or racist or just bad. You know,
right.
We're probably not going to publish it, but probably we will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Everyone, Poetry Pasta with one of our very favorite people, Miss Valerie Beers, here on the line. Keith, are you ready?
Yes. Hi. This is actually, my name is Teeth with a T.
Oh, Teeth.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll never mispronounce it again. Teeth, are you ready?
Yes, actually, once again, I was not prepared for this, but
right.
this is This is one. It's a seasonal, and it's called Snowflakes, and it's an original, written by myself, of course. And it goes like this. Even though we don't have snow this winter season just yet, but it's called Snowflakes. Snowflakes are falling to the ground, dancing and prancing all over town, while gazing through my window view. Silence deep upon the street. White as a dove, the snow it lands. Angel making with arms and hands. Ice skating with the wind upon the frosty lake. Oh, what beauty it brings. All from falling snowflakes. A God-given wintry scene at a freeze.
What was that very last line?
Oh, it says, a God-given wintry scene at a freeze.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I attempt to do is to always ask the person who's the poet to talk about the inspiration. Now, I can interpret what I feel. Talk about your inspiration again. Just share a little bit more.
Okay, so more so is speaking of snowflakes, it's winter. You know, when you're gazing out your window, it's usually pretty, you know, silent outside. The snow is out. You're planning it, making snow angels with your arms and your hands. And it's just a pretty wintry scene. And the ending is, of course, you know, it's a God-given wintry scene at a freeze.
Wow. Now, in terms of your style of writing, how would you describe it? What would you say? What genre do you like to write? I know it's poetry, but, I mean, do you like to write any particular style? Is it formal or informal or what? Do you just write?
I write as I'm inspired. It varies. I have, you know, various forms. That's just snowflakes, but I have one for fall and one for summer, and I have some adult poetry as well.
All right.
It's just as inspired.
Right. Well, I'd like to introduce you to Valerie Beers. Valerie, this is Teeth. Teeth, this is Valerie. Please introduce yourselves.
Hey, Teeth.
Hi, Valerie. Nice
name. Neat name.
Well, no, that is a great name. And Valerie,
very nice
Teeth,
imagery with your poem.
Yes.
Very nice imagery. And very nice rhyme scheme.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Valerie, Teeth, this is our holiday special.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hooray!
Well, one thing I didn't
you know, with that kind of enthusiasm, we cannot lose.
No way!
Even though we can't leave in early, but we cannot lose. Okay, Teeth, do you have another piece that you'd like to favor us with?
Okay, now this one is just, this is a fun one. It's very short.
All right.
This one, like I said, it's as I'm inspired, and this one is called Mesmerize, and it's probably, if you hear it, it's self-explanatory, but everyone gets their own, you know, feel from it. Okay, so it says Mesmerize. He was mesmerized by her eyes, her thighs, her lips, her hips, down to her toes, her shape that fills her lake, to taste from her waist, her skin that blends so well with her face, mesmerized even more by what lies beneath, a real beauty precisely is she. And that's it.
I want you to read that one again, and slow down this time. All right? I want to take all those words in.
Okay.
I want you to live it. That's one of the things that I talk about in our workshops. I want you to live that piece of poetry. All right.
Okay.
You wrote it, you live it. All right.
Mesmerized. He was mesmerized by her eyes, her thighs, her lips, her hips, down to her toes, her shape that fills her lace to taste from her waist. Her skin that blends so well with her face, mesmerized even more by what lies beneath. A real beauty, precisely, is she.
Wow. That's nice. It's nice and smooth.
Yeah.
Real beauty. Wow, I like that. I really like that. I like both of them, but that just, I don't know, it strikes me a little different than a snowflake. You know what I'm saying? So I like that. A little different than a snowflake. We're going to take one of our famous 30-second breaks, and we'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right.
Someday at Christmas, there'll be no war. When we have learned what Christmas is for, when we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth.
All right, we are back. That was Stevie Wonder. Someday at Christmas, as you see, our breaks only last no longer than 30 seconds. That was 21 seconds. So we move right along on this show. We're all over the map tonight. All right, what I'd like to do is recite a piece by, let's see, who I'd like to recite a piece. I talked earlier about Emily Dickinson, but I've changed my mind. All right. The two of you can kind of talk amongst yourselves as I try to find something. All right.
Well, I don't want to steal Pete's thunder.
No, go ahead, please.
This is your night. This is your night, girl. Okay. Well, I guess I could read. There's a follow-up piece to Christmas Police, which I wrote all by myself.
All right.
Yeah, don't you love that, the original title, Christmas Police? I wrote this. And it's Christmas Police 2, same tree, it's just continuation. Same flashing blue and red lights. Another ticket from the Christmas Police. Ma'am, your Christmas spirit has expired. No commercialization, no car costume, not enough decorating, not enough baking. And that's all I have so far. I want to do something about, you know, the commercialization, but I don't know. But that's
well,
what I have.
What I'd like you to do before we have a great discussion about the commercialization of Christmas, you know, I always ask you, as I've asked you probably for 50 episodes, to repeat it one more time.
Of course. Okay. Same flashing blue and red lights. Another ticket from the Christmas Police. Ma'am, your Christmas spirit has expired. No commercialization, no car costume, not enough decorating, not enough baking, not caring, except for her.
Christmas. The commercialization of Christmas. You know what I believe, Teeth and Valerie? Do you both know what I believe?
What do you believe, Michael?
Well, whether you believe in Christmas or not, one of the things that I learned a long time ago is that once you find out that Santa Claus is potentially not real, Christmas goes downhill from there. Because that sense of wonder is gone. When you know it's your mom and dad buying you gifts, and they're like, look, we don't have any money this year to get you a stereo. You know what I'm saying? Are you there? Are you listening?
I am. I'm here. I'm listening.
What do you think about what I just said? If you think anything about what I just said.
It's the harsh reality. It's the harsh light of reality, but it's true.
It is true. I think so. What about you, Teeth? What do you think about that? Even that as you grow older, things change so much.
It does change. It really does change. But I believe, too, that, you know, we all are children at one point in our life, and once you experience, you know, the fun and the excitement and the surprises and things like that, and you grow out of it, well, then it's like the generation under you, it's their turn, and it's so it's us as adults are the ones who now is helping them to experience. So we sometimes may feel the pressure of having to purchase items and you know, we're not supposed to go into debt or anything like that, but it just changes because it's not us anymore. We're the ones who are trying to make someone else happy.
Wow. That was really nice. That, you know what? I'm glad you're on the air tonight because that really helped me. Because you're right.
Well said.
Is there a season in the sun when they're younger?
Yeah, exactly.
That was beautiful. Thank you. Because I always said, you know, Christmas is over once you realize there's no Santa Claus. But you're right. It's their season to learn and to enjoy. And they pass it on, keep passing it on. Beautifully stated. Thank you so much. If you never come back again, you left one nugget of truth that I will cherish because, as I said earlier, words are never innocent, and those words were meant to be heard. All right. Keith, do you have another poem that you'd like to share?
Sure.
Okay, great, good, great.
Okay, let's see here. I have one here, and it's called Her Beauty. Okay, and this is written by myself. And, okay, it's, what makes a woman beautiful? Is it the color of her skin or whether she's thick or thin? Shouldn't it be the beauty within? Come again? The beauty within. Yes, nodding with a grin. It's the beauty within that makes a woman beautiful. From her heart to start, which is the biggest part. And oh, how her love spreads like a whirlwind in the air. A nurturing spirit that calms. Forgiveness she wears as jewels around her arm. Did I mention the way she gives of herself in poverty or wealth? Helping those in need, never showing a sign of greed. This makes her beautiful. Come again? This makes her divine from within. Nodding with a grin. Nodding with a grin.
Wow. Beautiful.
Thank you.
This makes her beautiful. I like that. Here's one called Madly Singing in the Mountains. It was written by Po Chu. In 770, well, he lived in 772, lived from 772 to 1846, the Chinese poet. There is no one among men that has not a special failing. And my failing consists in writing verses. I have broken away from the thousand ties of life, but this infirmity still remains behind. Each time that I look at a fine landscape, each time that I meet a loved friend, I raise my voice and cite a stanza of poetry and marvel as though a god had crossed my path. Ever since the day I was banished to Husang, half my time I have lived among the hills, and often when I finished a new poem, alone I climb the road to the eastern rock. I lean my body on the banks of white stone. I pull down with my hands a grass cassia branch. My mad singing startles the valleys and the hills. The apes and the birds all come to peep, fearing to become a laughingstock to the world. I choose a place that is unfrequented by men. That was translated from Chinese by Arthur Whaley.
That's pretty. Well read.
Well, thank you. And what it talks about here in terms of the description is that there are many varieties of coping with life in exile, And I guess Chinese poets are very skillful at them, according to this book. So he came up with as a good approach to exile. And Teeth, you gave me, as I said again, a good approach to looking at Christmas and Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how those two things relate. But I am going to make them relate. Because, good people, and correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes you've got to find a rainbow in the midst of a storm.
That's true.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Tell me more. Why does it make sense? We're just being philosophical now. We have a lot of time. This is our Christmas special. Why does that make sense?
That makes sense more so, I'll just say, what it's saying is it's good not to focus on the negative of whatever's going on, but to keep a positive mindset, knowing that there is something better on the other side of whatever it is that one may be experiencing or going through. There is something better on the other side. Therefore, you keep your eyes on the rainbow, the beautiful colors, and knowing that, you know, there is another side. So that keeps that hope alive.
All right. All right. Valerie, any thoughts on that? Are you still here, Valerie? Are you still there? Well, maybe Valerie is gone all the way. Well, I guess, and you're exactly right, I guess I was just thinking about a potential prop for our group, that living in exile inside your own mind. What do you think? Living in exile inside your own mind.
So it sounds like one's mind needs to be free from whatever it is that is just clouding it more so.
Right, right. Right, feeling as if you're on some little island inside your own mind, that an island, if you're in exile, someone put you there, and you want to free yourself somehow. And sometimes the only way to free yourself is to free yourself.
That's true.
Which is not always, easy. What did you say? Say that again?
One has to know that they are free.
It's true, they do. How do we find that out? When did you know that you were free? I know that might be too heavy to talk about on the internet for thousands of people. If people over in Thailand know.
You're free. I mean, for one, we live in the United States. Okay, the land of the free.
Okay.
But if you know that you're not in reality, physically in shackles or you're handcuffed or, you know, then that means you're free.
And I know that's was a very, very heavy question to ask someone. When did you know that you were free? I mean, but I guess for me, it's just, I don't know, as I'm having this stream of consciousness here, just something to think about. I'm asking myself that same question now. When did I know that I was free? And what was I free from? You could be free from so many different kinds of things. You know, you could still feel as if you're in bondage in one way, but then free in another way. You know, so it's potentially not all encompassing one just huge word of free. It could be looked at so many different kind of variations.
That is true.
Right. Okay. Getting too heavy. It's Christmas time. Hold on. Let's see what I have here. It's Christmas time. All right. Hold on. Oh, boy. All right. It's Christmas time. Valerie's gone.
Okay.
So it's just you and I. she moved right along. It is Christmas time, and it's time for Jose Feliciano.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. I want to
back. This is the DC Poetry Project over at my college show, Holiday Edition. And, Teeth, don't you think it's time for us to go home?
I think it's about time for us to go home. You can't mention that. I am celebrating my birthday on Christmas Day.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
that
wow.
is the day that I was born.
That is absolutely fantastic. Happy pre-birthday. Happy pre-birthday. That is absolutely fantastic. And the fact that you would take time out prior to your birthday to come on the air is better than anything that could ever happen. I'm going to play
you.
Jose Feliciano's song one more time because it's your birthday.
Thank you.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
Happy birthday.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
All right, everyone out there in Radio Land, Blog Talk Land, have a good one. Thank you so much, and be blessed through the holiday, and stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Teeth, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and hope to hear your voice again. All right?
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.